as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And now our gospel reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. So before we unpack this a little bit together, let's just pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts bless your name. Amen. So as you know, during Lent, we have been focused on prayer and particularly on hearing from God, listening to what he has to say to us as a church community and as individuals. And hopefully you have found that useful and taken away some practical tips and new ways of engaging with God. But as we were reminded last week, that desire to hear from God doesn't end with Lent. That's something that we want to take forward through this Easter week and further on as well. And one of the things that we do at St. Mary's in order to help you and ourselves, in order to help all of us to do that, to engage with God, to engage with Scripture, is to create some kind of audio reflections, which are available on the website already for Holy Week, just to help us to journey through the Easter story. And this year, our reflections are drawing on an ancient spiritual practice, the spiritual practice of Ignatian contemplation, which is an approach to reading and learning from Scripture that engages our imaginations, encouraging us to place ourselves in the story. As I said, it's one of the spiritual practices of St. Ignatius, and it's used by many Christians up to this day. And it can be a particularly helpful way of hearing from God, particularly for those passages that we are familiar with. So this morning, working through our talk, as well as sharing some of my own reflections, I want us to try this out together, using our imagination to place ourselves in this story and to see what God has to say to us. So as we work through the passage, there will be times when I pause and give you an opportunity to imaginatively reflect on God's word. And as we're going through this, I'd like you as much as possible to engage your imagination and try and think through this story as though you were there. For anyone who was at Spring Harvest at the big start, I apologise for not having an actual time machine to be able to take us back there. But hopefully we've all got the ability to think about it in this way. So let's dive in. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. We begin with Jesus going to Jerusalem. We know that he started his journey in Jericho, which is the lowest city on earth, 258 metres below sea level. And it is a steady climb through the sandy hills, following a way used by pilgrims for centuries. It's almost always hot, and it's almost always dusty. We join those journeying to Jerusalem for the annual celebration of Passover. Imagine the crowds, moving slowly but with purpose. Smaller groups and families coming together and joining with others, walking and talking, singing familiar pilgrim songs, making their way to the city for the festival. Some will be excited, some will be tired. Some will be journeying for the first time, and some will be remembering the many years that they have walked these paths, perhaps thinking of those who used to walk with them and no longer can. As we begin our journey as a church towards Easter, where do you see yourself? Is there a sense of excitement and anticipation? Are you looking forward to the familiar rituals and the worship of the festival? Are you tired and hot and uncomfortable? Maybe wondering if it's all worth it or not. Take a moment to imagine yourself in that place. So Jesus and the group with him reach Bethphage and Bethany, towns on the outskirts of Jerusalem. We know that Jesus has been here before. Bethany is the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's a place of friendship, shared history and memories, both happy and sad. This is where Jesus wept over the death of his friend. And this is where that same friend was resurrected as a testament to God's glory. Those with Jesus may have been remembering those very events or reflecting on their own friendships and families, their own journey to this place. Whatever you are feeling or thinking about today, bring it with you into the story as Jesus speaks. Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. A very specific instruction, slightly strange to our ears today, but perhaps not as strange to those with Jesus. The word that's translated colt here would more commonly have been used for a small pony or a horse, but it's the same word as the Greek translation of a passage in Zechariah, almost certainly a deliberate choice on Luke's part. This is an echo of the prophecy from more than 400 years before the birth of Jesus. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Luke is definitely making a link here, and I imagine that the disciples that Jesus was speaking to would have made that link as well. This instruction then isn't just a simple, please go fetch a donkey for me. It's an instruction weighty with meaning. Jesus is asking the two disciples to help him fulfill the prophecy. He's asking them to support him in acting out the coming of the king, triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey. Imagine yourself in that moment. You have been following Jesus, moving around with him, listening to his teaching, witnessing his miracles. You have journeyed with him this far to the outskirts of Jerusalem, and now he asks for your commitment. Do you believe that he is the promised king? Will you be part of this Messiah's moment? Will you support his mission? How will you respond to the command of Jesus? Let's rejoin the story. The disciples bring the colt to Jesus. They throw their cloaks over it and Jesus rides towards Jerusalem. The crowd of pilgrims walk alongside, everyone heading to the city for the celebration. As the hooves churn up the dust, people begin to throw their cloaks down, forming a carpet fit for a royal visitor. Beginning to descend the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem comes into view and a spontaneous shout spreads through the crowd. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember, the pilgrims are heading up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the decisive moment in history when God heard the cry of the oppressed, acted through his chosen leader, and led his people out of slavery and into freedom in the Promised Land. And now they sing lines from Psalm 118, one of the common pilgrim songs, a song of victory and of praise for God who defeats the enemy and establishes his kingdom, a song that remembers God's saving work in the Exodus, a song that remembers the kingdom established through God's chosen King David, a song that looks forward to the promised Messiah who will come and bring an end to oppression and injustice, who will bring freedom and establish peace on earth as it is in heaven. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Where are you in this crowd? Are you one of those closest to Jesus walking alongside the colt? Are you throwing down your cloak as a sign of your faith that he is the coming King? Do you join the crowds as they shout and sing God's praise? Maybe you're more cautious. Others had attempted to rebel against the Roman oppressors in the past. In fact, this time of Passover was often one of unrest, and the Romans increased the military presence in Jerusalem to prevent open revolt. This man, claiming to be the Messiah, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem as king, might just be another rebel, stirring up the public and crying for revolution, only to be defeated and leave the people with hopes dashed in a worse situation than before. Maybe the Pharisees in the crowd are wise to ask Jesus to command his disciples to stop. What might happen if the authorities hear about this messianic demonstration happening just outside the city? Well, Jesus knows, and Luke knows, and we as the reader know what awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. And from his point of view, this is the reason that such celebration is appropriate. Because Jesus is the coming Messiah, entering Jerusalem to set in motion that decisive moment in history when God responds to the cry of the oppressed and brings salvation and freedom, but through the cross. If the crowds surrounding Jesus had known what was coming, they would have been puzzled and distressed. And in a few days, as the events of Holy Week unfold, this is exactly what they will be, as the one that they expected to overthrow and conquer is lifted up to die. And yet it is through his suffering and death that Jesus wins the victory. It's in the unexpected violence of the cross that peace is made possible. It's by the setting aside of earthly power that God's kingdom is established. And this is so unexpected and countercultural that many of those following Jesus at this point of the story, hailing him as the King who comes in the name of the Lord, will desert him in the following days as he doesn't seem to live up to the expectations they hold. Reflecting on this passage, the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright poses two questions, which I want to finish with today. Having walked the pilgrim way with Jesus, having joined the crowds hailing him as king, having thrown down our cloaks and waved our palm branches with joy, having followed the donkey to Jerusalem, are we going along for the trip in the hope that Jesus will fulfill our expectations? And are we ready not only to spread our cloaks on the road in front of him, but also now to follow him into trouble, controversy, trial, and death? Lord, as we remember your journey to Jerusalem and all that it represents, may we, with the crowds, celebrate your coming as King. May we look to the future with hope for the fullness of your kingdom and work to bring your reign and rule in our lives and our communities. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Amen.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Lots of great content in there and lots of challenge as well, which is fantastic. We're going to have a time of prayer now. As ever, if there are people or circumstances that you would like prayer for, please do add a note in the comments. First names only, so we can protect people's confidentiality. But please do add those in as we pray, and we'll come back to them towards the end of our time of intercession. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that